Ben, and we are first picking Roxanne, Starfall Savant. This thing is awesome. I love this card. Look, starting in green is great. Starting in red, it's not so great, but we're going to take it over and Ionize. Wow, only two rares in this pack, not even a mythic. Four uncommons, I guess. Of these uncommons, Battleback Apothecary is pretty solid. I think I would take this Consuming Ashes above it. If Roxanne were in the pack, Consuming Ashes would probably be my pick, but I'm just taking Roxanne here. I love being five-color deserts, and Roxanne really pushes you in that direction. Look, you would just play her for her first paragraph of text, but the second paragraph of text, whenever you tap an artifact for mana, and one mana of any type that artifact token produced, works well with treasures, and it helps you splash around, so I'm going to be looking to go big here. Well, time to put my money where my mouth is. There's a Voidrend. I don't know if I'm going to be all that color. It's an awful lot of colors compared to my first pick. Kind of hard-locking myself into five of them. Or there's a Bounding Felidar here. I could see playing Roxanne, like, splashing in, like, a green-white deck or something. Or maybe even, like, a Naya deck. Those are pretty good. That being said, there is just the Dance of the Tumbleweeds here. It's hard to go wrong with this card. If there was a good green removal spell in here, like a Clear Shot or a Throw from the Saddle, I would just slam it to pair with the Roxanne, but these holy cows are not doing it for me. Yeah, I think Bounding Felidar is up there, but Dance of the Tumbleweeds just keeps going higher and higher in my pick order. It's just really good. It's a 6-mana thing that gives you a mana up, maybe for Snakeskin Veil, or it just makes a massive token in the late game. And, you know, making a massive token is relevant. Plus, you can always use it to ramp on turn 3. Ooh, we got some options here. So there's a Smuggler's Surprise. There's also a Throw from the Saddle. There's also a Crayazote Heath and a Mobile Homestead and a Bounding Felidar. All cards that I would play. I'd even play this Ankle Biter. Honestly, we might wheel something from this pack. Notably, it looks like blue is already kind of getting cut, which is an interesting thing to happen. Black looks like it's getting cut too. There's only a Rooftop Assassin in black in this pack, so a whole Naya pack here, kind of right where we want to be. I like Smuggler's Surprise a lot. It is basically a divination, but removal is very important in this format. I'm going to make the vegetables pick. I'm going to take the Throw from the Saddle. I wouldn't fault someone for taking Smuggler's Surprise over it. Smuggler's Surprise to hit the Roxanne is pretty sick, and Roxanne does help you cast it, for like the full, 9 mana, which I have done before, and when it works, it really works. But I'm just going to take the Throw. Ugh, Marchesa, Dealer of Death. I love this card. You got to sort of warp your deck around it to play it, though. You want a ton of outlaws. You want a ton of ways to, do little pinging things and tapping things and, a bunch of crime, really. Look, she's the Dealer of Death. She likes crime. But there's a Throw from the Saddle in this pack. I'm not going to get too fancy. Right? Let's just take the Throw. We have a good removal suite here. Oh. Another Smuggler's Surprise? Well, second time's the charm, I guess. There's a Binding Negotiation. But look, if we're going to be past playable green rares, again, this isn't a bomb or anything, but it can be pretty great in the late game. And on turn 3, you just cast it as a divination that helps stock your graveyard. It's pretty good. Notably, this does point a little bit towards the graveyard vector. So if we could sort of look for ways to get cards back from the graveyard, either a Mourner Surprise or a Back for More or something like that, we would try to go in on that. Plus, Roxanne is easily splashable in black-green. Plus, we're not passing very many good black cards. Wouldn't surprise me if we get past black in pack 2. But green being open from this direction is very nice. Well, Decimate doesn't really count as green-red being open. This card isn't playable, unfortunately. There's a Hellspur Brute. There's a Trained Arynx. Pick 6 Trained Arynx. I mean, Trained Arynx is better than Discerning Peddler, which would pair with the Roxanne and if we were trying to move into red. But hey, I'd rather be green-white than red-green. I like the vehicle's vector just a lot more than red-green 4 power pinging stuff. That's all fine. I'm just going to take the Arynx here. Giant Beaver's not bad either. If Trained Arynx weren't in the pack, I'd probably just slam that. But let's go with the Arynx. Funny, now there's not a green card in the pack. There's a Crown, though. Black is entirely dry. White? You can play Sterling Keykeeper. It's not the worst card in the world. Thunder Salvo is fine, but we already have a couple Throw from the Saddles. I'd like some 2-drops. Plus, the double throw from the saddle works really well with the Arynx. Why couldn't there have just been some garbage mount in this pack? I would have taken any garbage mount of this pack. How about the... This is the perfect pack, like pack one, pick seven, to pick up the sheep, the bighorn. I'll just take the Keykeeper. Wow, another Decimate. Okay. Nothing really in this pick eight that I'm super interested in here. Again, green is fully cut. Decimate doesn't count. We go with the Pixie. Maybe there's a way that I, you know, play the Arynx, bounce it with the Pixie, replay it on turn three. Well, I guess I'll just take another one. These don't really work in multiples. It literally says non-fairy on it. But I'm not playing any of the cards. These are just not playable. Huh. Okay, still not seeing a lot of green. Maybe we'll be picking up some good green in pack two as well. Hard to say what's flowing from this direction. Maybe red, but we don't really like red. I'd rather be in white here. There's a holy cow. Just going to take it and not complain. Hoping not to have to play any of these cards. Outlaw Medic I don't really like outside of the sacrifice synergies, which we clearly don't really have. I'll take a Highway Robbery. This is, I think, the most playable of this pile. Now we're kind of down to the dredges. We'll take a Mine Raider. Ride down could be interesting if we're splashing red anyway, for green white splashing red. Mountain and pack two. Oh man, that's a Geesa. Okay, there's a Geesa, there's a Murder, there's an Honest Rutstein, there's a Craze Out Heath, there's a Patient Naturalist, there's a Conduit Pylons. Can I just keep this whole pack? Even take up the shield? Ankle Biter? Yeah, I would just play all of these. Okay, now hear me out. Hear me out, listener. I believe we're going to be getting past black this pack because we did not pass a single, even remotely playable black card in pack one. I do think it's appropriate to read the table in some scenarios. Sometimes you just take the best card out of every pack and then say, all right, that was the draft. But I think the next level above that is saying, all right, what are the people around me doing? I'm going to take the Geesa. I think the correct pick is probably the Honest Rutstein. And just trying to do a little bit of graveyard stuff with that. Geesa is just so good. And we already have ways to commit crimes in the throw from the saddles. I'm going to take the Geesa and see what happens. Well, we get to hedge whether or not we're going to commit to black here. There's a Spinewoods Armadillo. Another throw from the saddle. Another dance. There's also a Great Train Heist, which I do actually think is playable. But I would rather take it on the wheel. Gila Courser. I just love Spinewoods Armadillo so much. This card's awesome. Really just helps you stabilize. And if you're a big green deck, you need this thing at your top end. Especially if you're doing like a multicolor, maybe goofy pile like we're doing. I don't really know where this is going yet, but I'm going to slam the Armadillo. Well, this is becoming a Desert Soup deck. We got a Bruce Tarl. Look, if we end up just not playing a single black card in this deck and we just wasted a pick on Geesa, I am okay with that for the potential expected value, the expected value of maybe moving into black this pack. But hey, if we wind up just being Naya good stuff, I'm okay with that too. Bruce Tarl's awesome. Also, if you have a Roxanne in play, you can just cast Geesa. Have we broken the format? I think so. Slamming Bruce Tarl here because this card is busted. Here, nothing quite as exciting. I'm just going to take a Mystical Tether. We could always use more removal spells, and if we find a way to get Geesa into the deck, a way to commit crimes, Mystical Tether is just a really high-value removal spell. You know, it's just an O-ring. You can cast it with Flash. The rest of this pack is honestly really unexciting. Not a single other card we're really happy to put in the deck at all. Interesting. This is sort of where I would like to pick up some fixing. Right around this pack 4, 5, 6 pick of pack two. There's a Humiliate. That feels like it really warp our mana. Another Keykeeper. Might just be on the Bristlepack Sentry here. I'm not sure I'm ready to move away from green. We have this double throw from Saddle, Dance the Tumbleweeds, Roxanne, Spinewoods Armadillo. We have a good green base. And I think we can be green-white base. Plus our other red cards, just Mine Raider, Highway Robbery. If we're splashing the Bruce... and the Roxanne, that's fine in like a base green deck, but we do want to find some other ways to fix. If we're splashing those, we probably want to set up the shields early with like a Bristlepack Sentry. Here, I'm just going to slam another Trained Arynx. I see us as moving into like a green-white base, and yeah, okay, the Geesa may have been a loss, but whatever, I don't regret it. No regrets. Nothing really out of this pack that I'm stoked about. I've been liking Ferocification more than most people. I think people don't know how to play with this card properly. I think that's why it's maybe not performing so well. But it's one of the ways that red can get that late game reach that it really needs. Not literal reach, but, you know, sort of like stretching in the late game to get through that last bit of damage. I find Frostification to work. Honestly, not super stoked on anything this pack. I'll take the Vigilante, but without a ton of ways to commit crimes, I don't love it. There was an Arid Archway that pack, and there's another one here. With messy mana like ours, I don't love the Archway. I'm going to take a Steer Clear. We can always use more kill spells, and we have a bunch of Arynxes. I'd be happy to pick up more mounts as well. Ooh, take up the Shield Wield. Yeah, big fan of that, especially with some high-value targets like Bruce Tarl, Roxanne, Armadillo, Trained Arynx. Slamming a take up the shield here. Now we're into some of the dredges. I'm going to hate a Caught in the Crossfire. No one really plays that card anyway. Oh, wow. Drover Grizzly, pick 11. That is awfully late for you, buddy. What are you still doing here? There's a Bristlepack Sentry and a Rustler Rampage to a lesser extent. I'm going to slam the Grizzly here. Get on in. Last three cards, nothing really. An Inventive Wingsmith. I think I've seen that card on the battlefield exactly once. Wow, Sterling Keykeeper came all the way back around. That card is playable. It's not the best. Honestly, I could make this into a deck, just what we have right now. I'm pretty happy going to the pack three here. Okay, we've got a Magda. We've got a Shepherd of the Clouds. Another Throw from the Saddle. Cactarantula. Savage Smash. Bucolic Ranch. A lot of action here. I don't think we want to go with the Magda. You really need this on turn two to maximize it. Although the treasures do work well with Roxanne. Shepherd of the Clouds is a really strong card, and it does sort of help with our graveyard vector, enabled my Smuggler Surprise, but we're not doing too much other self-mill. It's hard to turn down a third Throw from the Saddle. Just such efficient removal. Or a Cactarantula. We could use a bit more of a top end. Nah, I'm taking the Throw. I just love good removal. Ooh, this is interesting. Outlaw's Merriment. Huh. This card is really strong, especially if you get into the late game a little bit and start getting value off all these tokens. I mean, hey, if we're splashing red on Roxanne and Bruce, this is double white pipped? Yeah, I never get to play with this card. I love this card. This is just like a Boros value engine. Yeah, let's get some merriment going. Let's eat, drink, and be merry in here. That being said, I don't love that red is the card, the color that seems to be most open. All right, so quick little mini rant about Tiny Bones joins up. I had this in a deck with a million Grixis legends, including Marchesa. It was the best card in the deck. I wanted to see it every draft, which is kind of bizarre, given that this card seems pretty unplayable. All right, the rest of this pack. Rambling Possum. We don't really have a lot of stuff that we're looking to bounce. Bruce Tarl and Roxanne do their thing, even if you just attack with them. I think I'd rather even just take a Drover Grizzly. I mean, this thing does get huge and it is optional. Yeah, Rambling Possum's probably just fine. We've already got a Grizzly. Ooh, Hard Bristle Bandit. Exactly what this deck wants. Oh, there's another Trained Arynx. No, I need to. I have no fixing. I have no deserts at all. I need to just take some fixing here. Hard Bristle Bandit's going to work out well. Ooh, Clear Shot looks nice here. Basically a fourth Throw from the Saddle. You just pay one more to give it flash. Another Rambling Possum, another Steer Clear. Requisition Raid I like. Oh, man, this poor Geesa. I was really hoping I'd find a way to work it in, but it's not looking good right now. We just have so much removal, too. Geesa, you really want to be able to get that first trigger the turn she comes in. Maybe with something like Vile Smasher, so that Geesa triggers immediately. I'm just going to take the Clear Shot here. Bucolic Ranch. That's kind of like fixing. You can get it off the Spinewood's Armadillo. Good in the late game. Doesn't help us cast the Outlaw's Merriment. 17, 12. Yeah, let's just take a ranch here. We could go with the value lands. Oh, Forlorn Flats. Man, what am I trying to do? Cast Geesa? I mean, am I? No. The responsible thing would be to not play Geesa. I'm not. Look, even I have a limit, listener. That's just barely over it, but I do have a limit. I'll take a Conduit Pylons here. We do need a little bit of fixing. Man, Eroded Can... Not the right colors. I need some Naya fixing. I'll take an Ankle Biter. Wow. Blue is open this pack. Emergent Haunting. I'll hate that, I guess. Nothing really coming around. A Shifting Grift. I've been meaning to try a Shifting Grift with that black mythic from Big Score that gives you 6 life, 3 cards, and 3 tokens, but then you have to sack and discard and lose life each turn. Can't you Shifting Grift if your opponent has an enchantment? It's probably a way to do that, right? We're getting down to the dredges of the pack. Don't think I need much of this. Arid Archway. We've got pretty intense mana requirements. I'm not sure I like it, but it's, I mean, pretty much free. We'll take some of the dredges, and that's a deck. All right. I don't regret that Geesa pick in hindsight. What was that even coming out of that pack anyway? I guess I'd be splashing probably that Honest Rutstein out of that pack if I hadn't taken the Geesa. Whatever. I got 40 gems. That counts for something, right? Our removal's looking pretty good. I don't think we need to play the Ride Down. The Highway Robbery doesn't look super necessary either. Wow, this deck is pretty tight. Let's cut the Mind Raider, and honestly, not sure I like the Nurturing Pixies here. Like, what am I bouncing? I guess I'm flickering a Holy Cow with them. Starling Keykeeper does nothing. Omenport Vigilante, with 3 throw from the saddle and a clear shot? Kind of reasonable. I mean, if you bite this to their creature, it's a 3-3 double strike. That smacks for a lot of damage, and that is kind of what we're trying to do. This deck doesn't even really look like it's that mid-rangey. This looks more just like a nice green-white beatdown deck. So maybe I do prefer the Pixie over the Ankle Biter. Although Ankle Biter and Throw from the Saddle are clear shot. Death Touchers plus Bite Spells is a time-honored tradition. Maybe the Bristlepack Sentry is a cut here. We have plenty of 2-drops, and I'm not really using that for much. This puts us at 15 creatures, 10 non-creatures. The Dance of the Tumbleweed is basically a creature, and Outlaw's Merriment is basically a creature. So we can think of this as 17-8. I think we should cut 1 creature, 1 non-creature. Sterling Keykeeper does really get worse in multiples, leaving us with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 solid 2-drops. Yeah, it seems good. The Arid Archway is a little suspicious here. We have 2 deserts to return, the Bucolic Ranch and the Conduit Pylons. But we have some intense mana requirements, such as the Outlaw's Merriment. I don't think I want to risk it with that. Let's see, can I go up here and down on red sources? We have some ways to tutor, right? We have the Harbristle Bandit is fixing, the Spinewood's Armadillo is fixing, the Roxanne is fixing, the Dance of the Tumbleweeds is fixing. Yeah, I think we can go down. Bucolic Ranch does not help us cast these 3 cards. Let's go maybe 2 mountains. We need a lot of white sources for these double pips on the Merriment. We do some ways to scry, though. Holy Cow helps us get there. Trained Irons helps us get there. So I think we actually want more plains than forests. It's a little rare. Usually green is what enables the fixing. Smuggler's Surprise, I suppose, helps get us land. Let's cut 1 pixie. Can we? I think I'm going to have to go to another non-creature spell. Are there any other wacky non-creature spells? Really, we just have a bunch of good removal spells. Oh, Steer Clear. Steer Clear does not look that good here. We have a million actual removal spells. And then 2 pixies. I guess pixie bouncing a useless token is kind of cool. Just a free 2-2. Anything else we like to bounce? Maybe we'll find some way to abuse Roxanne. Maybe if they can't attack, but we could keep flickering Roxanne. Or even just flickering Bruce Tarl. Yeah, I guess it's pretty cool with those two. If these don't have good attacks, but when I get their value anyway, we can just flicker them and start going off. That works with the Rambling Possum too. This looks like a nice deck. Excited to play with it, but before we do, let's hop over to the slides real quick. Alright, so, Draft Chef episode 204. We got our usual housekeeping to get into. Then, a big announcement. And then a little bit of a smaller announcement, a less important announcement. Patrons, thank you as always. Y'all are the best. If you appreciate what happens here at the Draft Chat Podcast, hop on over to Patreon. I really appreciate everyone's support, and honestly, it helps keep the show going. This money goes straight back into the bounty boards, which people have really been enjoying, and it's been still popping off continuously, even this far into the format. If you feel like maybe you're getting bored, you want something new to try, check out the bounties. Do some cool stuff in the format, stuff that you probably want to do anyway. More and more people have been casting Cruel Ultimatum, which is always nice to see. And again, As always, you can hop into Discord to chat with cool aficionados like yourself. If you enjoy Draft Chaff, so do they, and we're always talking about cool stuff in there. Best place to talk about Magic or anything else. My Teferi this week, the high, the point of the week, well, I put it up on the screen, but something CubeCon. Also, pretty stoked about my school's Magic the Gathering Club, which we're starting to get up and running. We're still in the deck building phase, and then we're going to have a bunch of students come and play and just enjoy the decks that we've made. Thanks in part to donations from Magic Kids and also from fellow aficionado and mod in the Discord, Ratafia. Thanks, dude. My tipple this week is, as always, grading. Way too much grading to do. I'm not even sure how I'm going to get it all done. I've got like a wedding this weekend, so oh, that's a Teferi too. Not even sure how I'm going to even finish up all this grading in time. Whatever, that's how it is. Here are some of the decks that I've thrown together. If you can count them all there, they're each divided. Those that are watching on YouTube or watching on Spotify, you can see each of those sleeved cards is a divider. So what is that? 10, 20, like 30-some decks. And if you look at the cards that are in front, you might notice some fun ones. That's a Kami War in front of the one deck there. That's an Absorb in front of another. A 10th District Legionnaire in front of a different one. And a Queen Alanol of Rudok in front of the next one. So even from those alone, you can probably figure out what decks I've got cooking. The ones on the left are the easiest. And it goes medium, hard, and then the advanced decks that I'll only give to people once they really prove their stuff. I think I'm going to have a contest where if a student can beat me, I'm going to give him a playmat. Keep grinding away on those bounties. We've got plenty of time left in the format. There's still that some haven't even been claimed yet. What's yours is mine. Stealing 3 permanents with Ariette. Maybe I might bump that down to 1 permanent. Ariette doesn't seem super playable. By the way, don't forget, check out the Draft Chaff Hero stickers. These are live and shipped and on their way, those at the sticker level of Patreon. I love these things. They're so great. Speaking of which, take a look at the screen if you haven't already. The Draft Chaff Hero for OTJ was announced last week. Spinewood's Armadillo. I don't know. What do you think? Big hat or small hat? Let me know in Discord which you think is better. I'm personally leaning towards big hat. Surprise! The big announcement this week, the Draft Chaff Cube is going to be featured at CubeCon this year. Man, I am so stoked about this. It hasn't even really sunk in yet. Also, the fact that I didn't even have to bribe any of the judges or go through the voting process. This was selected as one of the main event cubes right from the get-go. Man, I don't even know what to say. I've poured so many hours into this thing. I am very excited to just have this be featured in such a legitimizing way. and honestly, just get feedback and hopefully everyone enjoys it. Everyone that's played it so far has always had a great time. And hey, if you listener are interested in the cube, hop over, check out the Draft Chaff cube. It's a whole cube for just like $100. That means you can draft a fun draft format made by me as many times as you want with your friends. It's honestly so much fun. I love the Draft Chaff cube. Super happy with how it turned out. And honestly, honored that it's featured in CubeCon. You can go to the CubeCon website and search up Draft Chaff Cube and boom, there it is. So, and as a another lesser announcement, as a reminder to everyone, there's going to be another arena open for Outlaws of Thunder Junction May 25th to 26th. So we got a couple weeks. I have thoughts about the sealed format. It's not good. I mean, you know how it is. The more you play, the more likely you're going to see other decks that have already been playing for a while, right? Like, you're likely to go against someone who's either won a game or is just starting like you. So the number of disproportionately busted decks you face is going to be up there. I lost to decks with multiple copies of big score mythics and things that are basically unbeatable if they just had that thing, but then they have 3 of them. But hey, sometimes that's you. Sometimes you're the one with the stupid busted deck on day one. So I'm going to run it again, and I suggest other people do too, because hey, sometimes it's nice to be on the broken end. With that, let's get into some games. Up against Egg Roll. Delicious. Let's see what we got on the draw. That is a hand. Yep. Double Keykeeper. Could use another land here. If we top deck a land, I'm tempted to go... Yeah, I'm tempted to go Bandit. And then next turn I can Arynx into Throw from the Saddle. And that sort of makes up some of the tempo loss from not playing the Arynx on 2. The fact that it's then a 4-power First Striker is pretty good in the getting in. Although Black-Green... Black-Green's good. Tends to put good cards in. A lot of good black and green cards in this set. Alright, that is the perfect thing that we are going to train Arynx demolish here. Although, we could Vigilante and then have this thing attack as a double striker next turn. How greedy do we want to be here? We can get a little bit greedy, I think. Let's try it. This might come back to bite me, but next turn is going to be pretty mana efficient too. We're going to get to go as Keykeeper plus Throw from the Saddle plus Bucolic Ranch. 3 solid plays in a turn. Oh. Railway Brawler. Then you know what? We're just going to crew the Arynx. Attack. Leaving up Mystical Tether to take care of that Brawler before another creature can even enter the battlefield. Because even just... Ooh, Red Source? Do I want a Red Source? Yeah, that's fine. I guess I've got the Bandit, but I'll take it. Even just getting one other creature in play with the Railway Brawler is insane. Cannot allow that thing to live. It's gotta die. They're probably gonna go for a double spell turn here where they go Brawler first, then another maybe 5-drop... Bit of a strange play. I guess I could have bottomed the mountain so that I had a chance on hitting on Bucolic Ranch if they choose not to play the Railway Brawler this turn. Why aren't they playing the Brawler? Well, you're missing a lot of value here, opponent. Do they think I'm holding up a kill spell? Because, like, obviously I'm holding up a kill spell. I mean, I can just do that again, though. I'm not losing out on that much value here, am I? No, because I can Hard Bristle Bandit here and still pass the turn with 5 mana up, right? Right? Well, I float off this. Yeah. Yeah, this works. Throw this onto the possum. I guess they didn't get a... Yeah, they didn't get a desert of any kind. Alright, we're gonna dodge this brawler. Ooh. Could just attack here. Nah. I'd rather get the scry. What have we got? Clear shot. Perfect. Top that. This trained Arynx is just going to get to keep smacking in here. No way they're going to chump. No way. There, yeah. And now we pass the turn with Tether up. And yeah, I am losing value here by not playing out my Key Keepers. But, like, they know I have something. They're gonna have to play into it eventually. Spinewood's Paladin. Yep. Get that nonsense out of here. Trying to make a 10-9 or something like that. 10-9. You don't need a 10-9 trampler opponent. Now here, I'm just going to clear shot right away. Possible that they have... Oh, they do. I think they do actually have Snakeskin Veil. There's no other one green instant in the format, is there? Oh, they have Treasure Dredger they can activate. Alright, they don't have it, or they would have used it by now. There we go. Now I can play out the Keykeeper and crew with that instead. Attack with the Vigilante. Crew you with you. Get in with Vigilante. This is a lot of first striking stuff. Not you, Bandit. Get back here. Holy cow. Seems good. Chumping with 16 life. Little suspicious. Could they have a Harvester of Misery? I'm going to play around Harvester of Misery. I know it's a big score mythic. Well, I guess they're all big score mythics, but it's a big score card. But look at all my X2s. I don't feel like I need to play into a ridiculous bomb. I'm like, I'm just pretty far ahead right now. Like, Sterling Keykeeper is going to do a lot of work here. They're paying life to make treasures for reasons unbeknownst to me. Like, they use the Outcaster Greenblade to go fetch up just another basic. But now they're paying to make treasures. Treasure Dredger's not at its best when just, you know, ramping. You don't really want to be trading life and mana for treasure in this format. I've tried. It doesn't work out that well. I do like the, what is it, like, Geode thing? The generic colorless 2/4. That artifact creature, that is a way to ramp and make treasures. It helps you sack your lands in the late game. Wow, they just play land and do nothing? Okay. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. It's working. Now, I could tap down the Treasure Dredger with the Keykeeper here to give the Vigilante Double Strike. Let's commit a crime. Let's just see what they do. Because it seems like they have something up. Oh, I should have tapped better for this. Whatever. I guess I'm not going to get to Holy Cow. I'm still sort of playing around. Well, if they had Harvester of Misery, they would have killed my... Yeah, wow. My draws have been really good this game. If they had a Harvester of Misery, they would have killed the Trandarynx this past turn. Yeah, okay. Back for more on the Vigilante. Fighting with the Spinewoods Paladin. Yeah. Okay. Still feel fine about this. I get to throw from the saddle next turn, targeting the Paladin. Guess I should have read that back for more. It was pretty obvious with six mana open. But they just didn't have much. Heartless Pillage. Discarding my Holy Cow. How will I win now? Bucolic Ranch could do good work here, too. Oh, no, they don't have anything. It's just a Treasure Dredger. They don't have nothing. Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm still going to crew, I guess because I want the Scry. I guess I don't really have to. Here, I could tap it. Now, if they want to offer up their Treasure Dredger as an offering to my Trandarynx, they may proceed. Another throw from the saddle. Yeah. Look, if you draft three throw from the saddles, you're going to see a lot of throw from the saddles. I'm just throwing my opponent around here. All right, pass the turn with the Keykeeper activation up. They play out a land. They have a Treasure Dredger. They tap a forest and concede. Cool. Deck is good. Send it back. Just eating egg roll alive here. Yeah, something like that. Hand is a little loose. Throw from the saddle does nothing without a creature. Smuggler's Surprise is sort of like a mid to late game card, as is Dance. But I wasn't super impressed by what I saw last game. I think I can keep this. My opponent's deck looks kind of slow. This might be the sort of game where I dance on three. Maybe I just surprise on three. Just casting this as a divination. Green and two to draw two. That's just pretty good by itself. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe I just throw from the saddle. I'm throwing everyone all over the place this draft. Ooh, Outlaw's Merriment? And we get to do it next turn? Oh, sick. Oh, yeah. Alright. I'm kind of into just throw. And just start the beatdown train. Let's just get everything out of the way. Start making a million tokens. I like this card a lot. Look at these. Why don't we get new token art? These people do not belong on Outlaw Junction. Although, oh, Consuming Ashes. You want to go one for one removal against my Outlaw's Merriment opponent? Because I'm into that. Now, it doesn't do anything the turn it comes in. It is a little slow. What card was this? What set was this originally from? Maybe original Eldraine, I feel like. I don't know. Could be just making that up. Rogue, Cleric, Warrior. Ah, it's from something. Spinewind's Paladin. Yes. Ah, I got the pinger. The one that I don't want right there. Ankle Biter's nice. Nice to take up the shield. I'm not... I could just make a 5/5 token this turn, but I'd rather it, you know, do a little more than that. Because if I can hit one more land, then this thing becomes a 7/7. Then it just eats the Spinewood Paladin all day. Smuggler's Surprise, I'll consider casting here. I do kind of want to hit a land for the dance, and I have none in hand. This is interesting. I'm gonna go for the block with the biter, and I'm not gonna cast Take Up the Shield. Oh, they have nothing? Yeah, I'm not. If they had like a clear shot to respond to it, it'd be pretty embarrassing. No way can they remove the merriment. Why are you looking at that opponent? What are you looking at? Okay. Yeah, it's a black-green deck. They're gonna have an Honest Rutstein. And they're, plotting Pillage the Bog. Okay. I just don't think that card's very good. It's cool. It's a very cool card. Oh, Bruce Tarl? Forgot you were in this deck, buddy. Get out of here. Alright, I'm gonna take a land so I can dance. Oh, man. What do I even do this turn? I have so many good options. Is it insane to just cast Bruce? Or do I Spinewoods first? Like, what's my opponent going to do about all this value? Let's start with an attack from the Lifelinker. Let's get the Bruce train rolling. I like drawing cards. What was that? Some land. Oh, not my Conduit Pylons. I'm never going to be able to surveil on the good cards now. How am I going to find all my good cards? Alright, they get to look at all but the last 10 of their cards. Like two-thirds of their deck. What could be hiding under this lovely art? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's fine. I just don't like tutors very much. It's a bit of a waste of time, in my opinion. I guess if you're literally playing black-green... Nah, even then. I mean, they just put a good card in their hand. Obviously, they put a good card in their hand. But you could just put good cards in your deck, right? Why tack on two extra mana to one of your good cards? Just simply draft good cards. All right, this is an interesting attack. They obviously have something. Clear shot. That is why we leave up Take Up the Shield, right? Honest Rutstein now trades with my ox. Well, I guess it's going to trade with the ox either way, right? Eh. Hopefully they just plot the stupid... Oh! I didn't get to cast my armadillo!